We get in situations like this, and you do not want to interfere with the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, directing. And if there's other needs in this house, this altar's open right now. You don't have to wait any longer. The Spirit of God is here tonight. I love to preach, but I've been around long enough to know there are times I don't need to preach. I just need to let the Holy Spirit lead. And this kind of seems like one of those moments. One thing Doug Carter taught me years ago, I'm not good at sermonettes. He told me sermonettes make Christianettes. So if you want me to preach, you're going to have to stay a while. Are you ready to hear from heaven? We've heard from him in here tonight. I'm fully content to just step aside here and let the Lord continue to lead. If all hearts are clear, I'm going to bring you the word then tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. If you'll turn in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to talk for a few moments about a subject matter that, quite frankly, I don't think we talk about enough around the church. And it may seem odd as a camp meeting sermon, but I want to talk to you tonight for a few moments about spiritual warfare. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, finally be strong in the Lord, verse 10. And in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. More often than not, when you have a conflict in your life, you tend to point to a person and say that's the problem. But you got to hear this in here tonight. People are not the problem. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So I want you to go with me into the spirit realm tonight. Get your eyes off the physical realm, this earthly world that's full of so much chaos, and let's start thinking in regard to the spirit realm. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And then I'm going to reference a couple of verses over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says, verse 3, 4, and 5, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I'm going to tell you something in here tonight. Every battle in your life and my life is going to be won or lost in our minds. A stronghold is a mindset that literally holds you hostage. It makes you think that you are hopelessly locked into a situation and you cannot change it. And Satan will tell you over and over and over again that you will not amount to anything, that you cannot do what you're wanting to do. But my God is going to tell you tonight, you can. Because he is greater than the evil one. Tonight, we demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Heavenly Father, as we would just get into this word, I pray that your word would come alive inside of us tonight. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Shekinah glory of God that is in the house tonight. Thank you for every need that has already been met. But now I pray that you would anoint this preacher tonight and you would enable us to connect with this congregation, every man, woman, boy, and girl in here tonight. And may we walk out of here on higher ground than we came in on. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. It's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. Everyone in agreement say, amen. When we talk about spiritual warfare, there's a couple of things I like to address right off the bat. First and foremost, I do not believe that a born-again believer filled with the Holy Spirit can be possessed of the devil. Now that's good news. Somebody should get excited and shout amen right there. I do not believe that a born-again believer filled with the Holy Spirit can be possessed of the devil. You're a child of God. Royal blood flows through your veins. But now listen, there is something else other than demonic possession and satanic possession. We call it demonic oppression. Satanic oppression, and listen, every one of us deal with it every day. Many years ago, after Tammy and I got married, took our first pastorate, I came home from a board meeting on a Monday night. It was probably about 10:30 when I walked in the little apartment. Tammy was working a job at the time, had gotten off around 5:30, came home and got her something to eat and had got a shower and got ready for bed. I came in the door and I called her name. She didn't answer. That was a little strange. And I walked on back through the little apartment and walked into our bedroom. And I saw a sight that even tonight still brings chills to me. There was my wife crouched on the bed in almost some kind of trance. And her eyes were kind of icy. And as I spoke to her, she didn't acknowledge me. But when I touched her shoulder and turned her around, the look she gave me, it wasn't Tammy. And I just began to speak, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm telling you, folks, whatever was going on, it was like ice began to melt. And whatever this was, there was a breakthrough. And Tammy, you could tell, she focused and she realized who I was. And she grabbed a hold of me and she said, hold me, hold me, I'm afraid. I said, what in the world happened? And she told me she had gotten out of the shower, she'd blow-dried her hair, and she came into the bedroom, and the TV was on, and it was the old movie, The Exorcist. Anybody remember that one? And this is not even the movie-rated version. It's the TV-rated version. And Tammy said there was a heaviness, there was a coldness that came into this room. And she said, I didn't know what to do. And she said, I tried to turn the channel, and I couldn't turn the channel. Let me tell you something, folks. Satanic oppression is very real. And yet, I've got good news for you tonight. Now, when we go into a study on spiritual warfare, there are two errors that are very common that we must avoid. One, we'll get in trouble if we treat Satan so lightly. He's nothing but a cartoon character. If we just have kind of the image in our mind of a guy running around in a red suit with a pitchfork in his hand, if we just kind of think of old Flip Wilson saying the devil made me do it, and we just kind of laugh when we do stuff we shouldn't be doing, if we treat Satan like a cartoon character, we're going to get in trouble. But on the other end of the spectrum, my daddy taught me a long time ago, he said, boy, you can get in the ditch on both sides of the road. If you go to the other end of the spectrum, we also do not need to give Satan more credit than he deserves. Now, I want you to grab hold of that tonight. I am amazed at how many times around the church we almost equate Satan to an equal with God. He's not a god. He's a fallen angel. I don't think we even realize at times how much credit we give Satan. I'll give you an example. There's an old camp meeting up in West Virginia where I was born and raised. It's where I was saved. It's where I was sanctified. It's where God called me to preach. And for years, they've asked me to come back Labor Day weekend and preach that camp meeting. It's along the banks of the beautiful Greenbrier River. It's held at a 4-H camp. It's all log cabins, the dorms, the dining hall, but the services are held in a big circus tent. And I mean, they put down sawdust like the old times, and it's a great place to hang out and to worship the Lord. But I was there a few years back, the Mark Dubeld family. We were talking about them at lunch today. They have kind of been the host song evangelist for the last several years there. Well, now the camp, when it starts, they put up a platform, they have a sound system, and it's adequate. But when the Mark Dubeld family comes in, they set up their sound system. It's bigger and it's better. So we're going along doing camp meeting. We come down to Saturday night, and the big name group from Nashville comes in. Now, this is the group that's supposed to bring all the people in. Well, they have a bigger sound system and a better sound system than the two sound systems we already have in place. So they plug theirs in. There's just a little electrical box on a pole out behind the tent. We start the service. We're having praise and worship. I'm supposed to preach that night, but I'm down on the front row, and I'm thinking to myself, when is it going to happen? And it didn't take long. The lights started flickering. And then we lost the keyboard. And then all of a sudden, boom, power goes out. And the old guy that kind of is the MC of the place, he got up in front of everybody and cupped his hands, and he shouted, oh, people, we need to pray. The devil is really fighting us in here tonight. No, you plug three sound systems into one little electrical box that could probably only hold one. Don't give Satan more credit than he deserves. Now, real quick, let's just do a little scouting of our opponent. Before the Bulldogs play that big football game, they scout their opponent to look at what the tendencies are, what the plays are going to be that will be used against them. And I want us to do that for just a few moments here tonight. Let's describe the devil. Let's look at the devil's devices. And then let's learn how to deal with the devil before we walk out of here tonight. You may want to write down a few of these. The devil's description, Satan is not a god. I've already told you that. Satan is not a god. Don't ever put him on the same level as God. He is not the opposite of God. He is a fallen angel. Now, Jesus, Paul, in the scripture would refer to him as the prince of this world. Paul said the God, but that's little g, of this world. But he's not a God, he's a fallen angel. Satan does not have the characteristics of God. Satan is not omnipotent like God is. God has all power. Satan has a limited amount of power. Satan is not omniscient. Now that ought to be good news. He doesn't know everything about you tonight. He's not all-knowing like God is. He is a created being, and he's not all-powerful, he's not all-knowing, and this might be the best, Satan is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. He's one created being. He can only be one place at one time. Now again, somebody ought to be excited about that. Now, I'll give you an illustration. Don't feel bad if you've said this before. I've said it many times. I've given testimonies before. Oh, pray for me, church. I've had a hard week. Satan has been on my back all week long. Well, you know what? That's probably not the case. Now, it may feel like it. But after studying this some years ago, I remember being in a camp meeting service, and a lady, she was testifying that very thing. Oh, pray for me, church. I've had a hard week. Satan has been on my back all week long. Now, I didn't say it out loud, but in my mind, you know what I was thinking? Well, good. Because that means if he's on your back, he can't be on my back. One person, one created being, can only be one place at one time. So what's happening? When you have the bad week, and it feels like Satan himself is on your back. Well, listen to this. Satan is a fallen angel, and when he was kicked out of heaven, a third of the angels fell with him. Now, we don't know how many angels God created. But just for some perspective, let me give you a passage of Scripture. You don't have to turn. It's in Revelation chapter 5. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne. And the living creatures and the elders, 10,000 times 10,000, you do the math with me, that's 100 million angels. Now, in all probability, God created more than that. But if we just use this as a benchmark, if we just do this to get some perspective, if a third of 100 million angels were cast down from heaven, now we're talking about 33,333,333 fallen angels that we would now call demons. And they are literally swarming around this earth tonight like bees around a hive. And when you have that bad day and you feel like the weight of the world is on you, and Satan himself is on your back, what you're dealing with is demonic presence. Again, get up into the spirit realm to understand the enemy that we all have in here tonight. It's not people. It's not flesh and blood. But Satan is the leader of all these fallen angels. But let me tell you something, Satan is already a defeated foe. And I got great news for you. He really doesn't have any power. The only power he really has is to deceive us. And he's a master at it. The only real power he has is to deceive us and make us think he's more powerful than he really is. But don't buy the lie. Again, as he comes into your mind and tells you you can't, remember, Jesus says, in Christ we can do all things. So we've described our adversary, our opponent. Now let's look at what some of the devices are he's going to use against us. Because again, when you are able to spot them early, it's going to save you a lot of time, worry, stress. There are several devices of the devil, but I'm just going to give you three. The first and probably the greatest tool that Satan uses against us is fear. Write that down. Fear. But when we get in the Word of God, we take on the full armor of God, we get the sword of the Spirit, what does the Word of God tell us? God does not give us a spirit of fear. So we recognize right away that this is a trick of the enemy. When we're fearful, when we're paralyzed by fear. Fear is something that comes early in life and it seems to be natural almost. And we're afraid of heights, or we're afraid of the dark, or we're afraid of spiders and afraid of snakes. And sometimes we just laugh. My sister's little boy, he's not a little boy anymore, he's a grown man now, but Jonathan, when he was little, he was all excited when he got his own bedroom. And he loved it during the day, but he didn't like it at night. He was afraid of the dark. And my sister would tell me all the stories, how down through the years they'd have to get into bed and lay there with Jonathan and pray with Jonathan and try to help him through it. He was scared of the dark, and he had in his mind that when it got dark that his stuffed animals came to life. And so they'd have to get all the stuffed animals and put them in the closet and shut the door. And then he had the idea that when the lights went out, monsters would come out of the television monitor. He had a little TV in his room, so they'd have to put a blanket over the TV so that Jonathan could go to bed. And my sister was telling me one night they had put the animals away, they'd covered up the TV, and my sister said to Jonathan, "There's no one in this room, Jonathan, except you and Jesus." And little Jonathan was crying, and he said, "Well, get him out of here too." Fear's a terrible thing. And I guarantee you there's people in here tonight, adults, fear is no laughing matter. And we mask it. And we hide from it. But it's there. And it limits us from doing and being all that God wants us to do and be. But you understand, it's a device of the devil. Now I prayed as I came in here this evening that there might be some people get delivered from fear in here tonight. I'm not talking about just have a little emotional experience down at the altar. I'm talking about nail it down, walk out of here victorious, more than a conqueror, delivered from fear. Let me give you another device of the devil, condemnation. And maybe an easier word to understand there is guilt. Anybody ever been on a guilt trip before? Satan's the master of it. Again, he's going to play with your mind. And he has no real power, but he's going to try to trick you. He's going to try to deceive you. And oh, is he going to put guilt on you. And he's going to remind you, even here at camp meeting, you'll be praising the Lord like we were in here tonight. And there'll be a thought come in your mind. Where in the world could that come into a holiness camp meeting setting? But Satan will plant a thought that who are you to be lifting your hands and praising God? Who are you to be coming down to this song? Who are you to be singing those songs? I know what you've done. I always try to be very transparent when I preach. My church congregation tells me sometimes I'm too transparent. But I want to let you know something. I have the same challenges that you have in life. And every now and then, it wasn't all that long ago, Satan was kind of beating me up. That demonic oppression I was talking about, it really felt like he was on my back. And reminded me of some stuff in the past. And again, I'm willing to tell you, there are things in my past I wish I could expunge from my memory, but I can't. I'm human. And Satan's bringing something up. Who are you to be standing up there in front of people, challenging them, telling them how to live a holy life when I know what? And again, after studying this stuff, I just talked to him out loud. I said, Satan, you know what? You're right. I did that way back there. And you know what? There's a whole bunch of other stuff I did that you don't even know about. Now, anybody get that? Don't give him more credit than he deserves. He don't know everything about you. And I just began to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says he has to flee when those thoughts come. Get the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit into play. You don't have to be battered and beaten down by this enemy. We have power that is so much greater than him. But he's going to try to trick us. He's going to try to make us fearful. He's going to put the guilt trip on us. And then the third device of the devil I'm going to mention is just temptation. He's going to try to get you on something. He's going to try to hook you. Think almost of going fishing. And Satan's going to cast that hook out there, and he's going to try to snag you. And again, you got to give him this. He's pretty crafty. He'll change the bait. And isn't this interesting when you stop and think about it? Satan very rarely tempts us in our strength areas. He always comes against us in our weak areas. But here's good news. I love this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, although it's taken out of context by a whole lot of people around the church. It's talking about temptation. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, that's great news. Now, here's how it gets taken out of context. Again, in our good old testimony meetings, oh, pray for me, church. I've had a hard week. Satan's been on my back all week long. Yeah, it's been a bad week. Pray for me. The bank came, and they're going to foreclose on my house. You pray for me. The credit union came. They took my truck this week. Oh, pray for me. They took my boat. But now God promised he's not going to put more on me than I can bear. That's not what this verse is talking about. What you're describing, you bought a house you can't afford. And a truck and a boat you can't afford. Don't blame God for that. So we're going through life, saved, sanctified. And yet he's going to come. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is extra personal. It's out here. It's not sin until we act upon it. Now I realize I've just given you a good Wesleyan definition of sin right there. Not everybody agrees with that. So we try to deal with it. We come up with little cliches. You ever heard this one? Somebody in over Africa told me this. They said, well, you can't help it if the bird flies over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. That'll probably hit you about midnight. You know, how close can you get before you cross the line and it becomes sin? I had a junior boys Sunday school teacher when I was coming up, old Jack Hewitt. And he didn't have a very encouraging word for us little boys every Sunday. It was always doom and gloom. Oh, little boys, he said. Oh, as you grow up, he said, you're going to have some thoughts of evil from time to time. But he said, you should never have evil thoughts. Man, did we have a time trying to figure out which was which. Thoughts of evil versus evil thoughts. And you know what? It's not just little boys that deal with it. It's every one of us every day. I took a pastorate down around Wrightsville, Georgia, Mount Olive Church of the Nazarene, when I was 34 years old. And it was a great church out in the country. I inherited a 74-year-old associate pastor. A former district superintendent, Doyle Smith was his name. Great man of God, and he turned out to be an incredible mentor to me. But he had this big head of white hair and deep voice. I always just thought of him as Moses. I mean, I have no clue what Moses looked like. But Doyle Smith was the kind of guy, I mean, this is somebody you'd think he's never had a thought of evil or an evil thought in his whole life. He's a saint of God. But I'm the new preacher in town, and Doyle Smith has me at a little diner in Wrightsville, Georgia, and we're eating lunch, and I'm just going to tell you how it happened. A woman walked up to our table, and she didn't have enough clothes on. And Doyle Smith's eyes got about this big. And he's looking at her, and then he looked at me, and he looked back at her, and he looked at me, and he said, preach, he said, sometimes you have to pray quick. 74-year-old man. And if you knew Doyle Smith, oh, he was so conscientious. He worried about that. He couldn't eat his lunch, and we were out making some visits in the community, and he'd keep talking about, oh, he said, I hope I didn't do anything wrong back there today, preacher. He said, I said, no, you couldn't help that. She just walked up there. Oh, he said, I don't want to ruin my witness. I don't want to do anything that would bring shame to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, 3 hours later, we come out of a visit, and he's still talking about it. And he said, now, pastor, help me. He said, I don't think I did anything wrong there at lunch today. But he said, now, if I go back there tomorrow and hope she shows up again, that'd probably be wrong, wouldn't it? 74-year-old man, he's still dealing with it. So Satan's going to try to catch you. And he's going to tempt you with everything he's got. But again, we get the sword of the Spirit. We put on the full armor of God. We can overcome. How do we deal with the devil? Let me wrap this up. And I'm not going to preach these points, but let me just give them to you. Four things. How do you deal with the devil? Number one, write down the word authority. Authority. Now that's a word maybe in our Wesleyan tradition we're not real used to. Our charismatic brothers and sisters, they're always walking in authority and talking in authority and living in authority, and we're kind of like, I'm not sure if we do that. I got great news for you. In the name of Jesus, we have authority over the evil one. I love the story of Martin Luther, 500 years ago, Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther was awakened in his sleep in the middle of the night, and there was this icy, eerie presence in his room, and he turned over, and lo and behold, it was Satan himself in his room. And Martin Luther said, oh, it's only you. Turned back over and went to sleep. That's the authority we have in Jesus Christ tonight. You don't have to live in bondage to him. You have authority in the name of Jesus over him. The second way we deal with the devil, the blood of Jesus Christ. Claim the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. I told you that story about Tammy at the very beginning. She learned that lesson, and down through the years, Tammy's not like me. She's not a Mr. Microphone up front kind of person. She likes to stay in the background, but she learned that lesson. Anytime there's a hint of the satanic or demonic, Tammy will just speak the name Jesus. And the Bible says demons flee at the sound of that name Jesus. Tammy and I were in Walmart. It was near Christmas time, and we were over in the toy section getting some gifts for the niece and the nephews, and there were some young teenagers in there. And we overheard them. They were talking about seances and Ouija boards. And, I mean, Tammy, she just walked right up to them, and she said, Jesus, you should have seen those kids run out of Walmart. You can clear the checkout line at Walmart if you just speak the name Jesus. Don't play around with it. Listen, whatever your age is in here tonight, don't fool around with any of the occult. Don't play around with any of that stuff that is dark, that is evil. How do you deal with the devil? Authority, the blood of Jesus, quiet confidence. Number three, write that one down, quiet confidence. I just put that in there for my mom. I'm a mama's boy. And my mom is a saint of God, 87 years old. I've never seen her shaken. She's been a woman of the Word all of her life. By the way, number four is Scripture. How do you deal with the devil? The Word of God, Scripture. Just write that down. We're done. You know what it means when preachers say in closing, don't you? Absolutely nothing. My dad passed away 10 years ago, and Dad was one of my heroes, and yet I saw him down through the years pastoring a church. I saw him shaken, carrying the load that we do in ministry at times, but I've never seen my mom shaken. She just, whatever the situation was, she just quote Scripture. She memorized nearly the whole Bible. And there's power in that. I don't know if you try it, but you memorize the Word of God, let me tell you, it'll come out when you need it. Dad's funeral, I preached the funeral, lasted 2 hours. Some of you are really getting worried, aren't you? But it was a lot of singing, other speakers, and we finished up at the church. We go to the cemetery, and I do the committal service, and we're done. But my little mom raised her hand. She said, I want to say something. And she walked up to the head of that casket and put her hand on it, and she started quoting the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And now there's not a dry eye in the place. And her voice just got stronger. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. She got done quoting the 23rd Psalm. She started singing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. My sister said to me after the funeral, she said, how could, in that moment, how could mom get up there and quote Scripture? I said, well, sis, she didn't rehearse her lines. You hide the Word of God in your heart. It'll come out when you need it. I was traveling the country back then, full-time evangelism. I came off the road, spent some time with mom. But right away, she told me, you get back out on the road and you preach. That's what God called you to do. I said, but I need to make sure you're all right. She said, I'm all right. I can stay in this house by myself. I went back on the road. My sister called me after the next Sunday. She said, Mom, come to church this morning. And by the way, my mom, 87 years old, sings in a praise team. That just blesses my heart. And she don't even know the songs they're singing, but she's up there giving praise and glory and honor to God. But she said, Mom, come to church today, and said she wanted to sing a special. And she wanted to sing the lead vocal, and she always was an alto in the background singing the harmony. But I said, well, what'd she sing? And it was that old Easter Brothers song, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've got a good place to sleep, shoes, no food on my table, shoes on my feet. And then sis said, Mom just started making up words. And she just starts saying, I'm not afraid in that house at night, and Jesus takes care of me, and I'm telling you, folks, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live with guilt. You don't have to live with bondage. We rebuke Satan, as the Word of God tells us. He has to flee from us. Now, I promise I'm done after this. But I started this message with a story about Tammy. I'll end with one. I was preaching a revival in Dothan, Alabama, a few years back, and it was Tuesday at lunchtime. Some of the people in the church wanted to take me out to eat. And I went into the restaurant with them. I didn't bring my cell phone in. I left it in the car. Came out of the restaurant after lunch, got in the car, looked at my phone. I've missed 5 calls from Tammy. So I know something's up. And I call her, and right when she answered, I could tell her voice was like an octave higher than it normally is. I said, what's going on? She said there was a snake in the house. I said, what? She said, yeah, there was a snake in the house. Now, when the story started, the snake was probably about this big. As it turned out, it was probably about that big. But still, a snake in the house. And she's there by herself. I said, what'd you do? Now, again, Tammy's not like me. I grew up in a church where we ran the aisles and shouted and jumped the pews. And Tammy grew up over here in the next county over, Crawford County. Her church, she said her uncle would say amen out loud once a month, and the people would turn and look at him like, what are you doing disrupting this service? I said, Tammy, you're going to be in trouble when you come to my home church. First time I ever had Tammy in my home church. We started singing, hadn't been singing long. All of a sudden, she grabbed my shoulder, and I looked. Tammy's eyes were real big. I said, what's wrong? She said, there goes one. And old Helen Payne was shouting down the center aisle of the church, oh, victory! And she about scared Tammy to death. Tammy tells me she behaves properly in church, whatever that is. I said, what'd you do? She said, I jumped up. She said, I started shouting. She said, I think I even started speaking in tongues. She said, I went to the garage, got a shovel. She said, I brought it back in there. And she said, I chopped that serpent's head off in the name of Jesus and threw him out the door. Now listen, folks, that's how you deal with the devil. The moment you recognize him for who he is and what he's up to, let him have it in the name of Jesus. He has to flee from you. Now, I want you to bow your heads. We've had an incredible night here on the campground. Heads bowed, eyes closed, very specific. How many lift your hand and say, Pastor, I battle fear, and I'd love to be delivered tonight. Would you just lift your hands? Just lift your hands all over this tabernacle. Fear. God bless you. You can put them down. How about this, Pastor? Guilt. Oh, I have such low self-esteem, and I never feel like I'm enough. Lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. He's for you tonight. He loves you. Come on up here, Isabels. Get ready to sing. He's for you. He's not against you. He loves you. Father, I just pray on top of all the glory we've had in here tonight one more time. Would you give courage and strength to everyone that has a need in here tonight? Spiritual warfare is real. And Lord, especially these that have lifted their hands talking about fear and guilt, Lord, I'm praying tonight that supernaturally you're going to deliver some people. So, Father, we ask for your favor and blessing in Christ's name. Let's all stand. And even before they start singing, everyone that lifted your hand, fear, guilt, would you just come? Lead the way. And then there's others tonight that have needs. As they sing, why don't you make your way down to the altar for some definite victory? Yes. Oh, yes. There's room over here. There's room over here. You can get on the inside of the altar. Teenagers, you can get on the inside of the altar over here. There's room. Yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. That's right, that's right. Yes, free someone tonight. Deliver someone tonight. Praise God. Yes. Anybody else, don't miss out on this. Come.